Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
The Wake Up Zone 716 on 104.5 The Zone. We're powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Stop by any Tennessee Lottery retailer. Have a little fun with instant games today. A little fun here talking some college football. From the sporting news, Bill Bender joins us. Bill, what's going on this morning?
Hey, not much. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're good. Just kind of counting the days to all this gets started again. You wrote about breaking up the Bama-Clemson monopoly. What sort of chance does a team like Oklahoma have of doing that?
Well, they got the offense to do it. I think we asked the same question over and over again about Oklahoma. Will they get a few stops? So they hire Alex Grinch, pretty good defensive coordinator. I can tell you guys this. If Oklahoma does get back to the playoff and plays Alabama, and we all know the obvious storyline there with Jalen Hurts. But to me, it's the defense has to show that it can stop somebody before they can seriously entertain that.
Is predicting the semifinals and the college football playoff championship almost too easy? How do you look at that when you make these projections for 2019?
Well, we did, and you know ours are out there, and I guess we made a splash, even though I don't think it's that bold. We picked Texas to go along with Ohio State out of the Big Ten, and then you know the two free spaces with Alabama and Clemson. So, you know, my process of elimination for Texas was this: I said, you know, eliminate the Pac-12, eliminate the Group of Five. You go out and you say Texas is better than Oklahoma, which is, they're pretty even this year. And then to me, the only debate is this. I mean, would the playoff take two SEC teams, or will they take the Big 12 and Big 10 champion? And I think it would be the latter. It's really hard to predict two playoff teams from the same conference because a lot of things have to break for that to happen.
Speaking of that, what do you feel like the ceiling is for Georgia and for Florida too, for that matter, in the SEC East?
Well, I mean, Georgia's ceiling's national championship there, and that they've been pretty close the last 2 years. They've proven they can play Alabama in the fourth quarter. And when you talk about breaking up Clemson, Alabama, I think we all kind of point to Georgia first because they have the talent, they have an experienced quarterback, and they, you know, if not for a couple, I just keep going back to that fake punt last year as one of the more puzzling calls I've ever seen. Florida might be a year, I hate using the phrase a year away, but that's where they are. I think another cycle with Dan Mullen continuing to close the gap with Georgia. But we've seen them at least twice in my lifetime be a superpower that's capable of winning it every year under Spurrier and Meyer. And maybe Mullen gets them to that point sooner rather than later.
Bill Bender is our guest from the Sporting News talking some college football.
Well, Bill, you were talking about, I guess, predicting, you know, the Final Four teams. It made me think about a lot of coaches and commissioners are talking about playoff expansion. Do you think this is going to happen, and how soon will it, if it is? You know, it could be a couple years away. I don't know.
Well, I think that next TV contract kind of a target date. I think we will get to eight eventually. But as I've said kind of all along, we'll get to eight when they want to go to eight. It won't be when Twitter wants to go to eight. Or, you know, my buddies, you know, and by the way, my buddies make fun of me a lot. They're like, is Twitter a person? I was like, Twitter's a mob, guys, but Twitter doesn't get to tell you what to do. You know, I would say this. I think the first thing for me to look for is we'll go to eight when everybody goes to nine conference games or back to eight conference games, because I think the Power Five conferences have to play the same number of conference games. Otherwise, when we get to eight, we're going to have the same debate.
Gotcha. I guess, and another question for me, and before I hand it over to Mark, is do you think the transfer portal is good or bad for college football? Because it seems like some schools are taking advantage of it, and then other schools are leaving players and coaches a little upset.
Well, you know, before I came on, I was joking about how my son's going to a basketball camp, and I always, you know, my son's eight, and you're already in that process of teaching him, you know, have fun, play hard, and stick with your decisions. And look, I'm all about college athletes getting opportunities to play and being, you know, wherever they want to play. I don't like the transfer restrictions that tell a guy he can't transfer within the own conference because you're telling a kid where he can go to school, and I've never liked that. So my compromise to it would be this. I think every student-athlete should be able to transfer once without penalty, essentially. They can go. They can play right away. But if you transfer a second time, I think you have to sit a year. And I think that would make everybody happy because then you have to show some level of commitment. The Brew McCoy story at Texas.
Right, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, that's bizarre. And, you know, you never know what goes into a kid's thought process of going to a school, and I don't begrudge him for that. But if this becomes a trend, man, we're going to be in a weird spot in college football pretty soon.
Speaking of Bill Bender, of course, covers college football for the Sporting News. Bill, if it was anybody but Jim Harbaugh, he'd be feeling the heat at Michigan. You know, given Harbaugh's record against Notre Dame, Ohio State, and Michigan State, how warm is Harbaugh's seat? And what's going to happen if he again goes 1-2 or 0-3 against his big rivals?
Well, I don't think his seat's warm at all because Ward Manuel's backed his play. I think it really doesn't. It comes down to one game. I mean, Michigan State, they've evened that series with, you know, he's 2-2 against them, and Michigan State won on a pump fumble and in a monsoon. And last year they dominated the Spartans. I don't think that's the problem. You know, they're 3-1 against Penn State. They're 2-1 against Wisconsin. They've won 10 games three out of the last 4 years, and most programs would take that. But 0-4 against Ohio State, it still stands. The shock value of 62-39 against Ohio State still stands, and it's a big year for that, but I still don't think, you know, I still think he's the right coach for Michigan. They're obviously changing the offense. He's done some things wrong at some times, but I mean, I always tell people this, okay, yeah, you can say Jim Harbaugh's warm and hot and this and that and the other. Who's replacing him? Mm-hmm. Because they found out the last time they did this when they replaced Lloyd Carr, just how far down the hole they can go.
Who's occupying the hottest seat in the SEC?
I think it's Gus, because is that the answer every year? Is that the answer every week, I could even say?
Maybe Muschamp.
Yeah, well, I think Muschamp's got a key year just because Tennessee's going to be better, and you know, Vandy's doing their thing. Kentucky's got better. So, yeah, I don't think South Carolina can finish sixth in the SEC East. But I would still say Gus just because, you know, when you project Auburn year to year, I could tell you guys, hey, they're going to go 11-1. Or, hey, guys, they're going to go 7-6. And I probably have an equal chance of being right both ways.
A year from now, are we talking about an Urban Meyer comeback at USC?
It will all depend on his health. And I know skeptics out there, and we're naturally skeptic as people anyway, but I really do think his health was the reason last year. Now, there were some other things attached to that, but, you know, I could see it. I'm based in Columbus. I saw it day to day. He did not look well at the end of the year. But if his health checks out and he, you know, I always say when they go to the booth, you don't keep score in the booth. I mean, you may be getting an Emmy or something, but it's not the same as beating Michigan 62-39. So, you know, a lot of people are going to draw the USC line, and you know what? They're going to draw it sooner rather than later because USC has a brutal first half of the season schedule.
How much heat is on Willie Taggart as he enters year two at Florida State?
Well, you got to make a bowl game. I mean, start there for all the people that think bowl games are meaningless. You talk to the coaches that don't make one, especially at a school where they made one for like 40 straight seasons. So I think you start there. They have some talent. They have a really good running back, Cam Akers. It's kind of weird seeing Alex Hornibrook, the Wisconsin quarterback, play there. But, you know, I think he'll be fine this year. But if it's a 7-5 year or something like that, the heat will really turn on in year three.
Bill, I disagree with one thing you said earlier about Twitter can't tell you what to do. Well, that's not the case if you're trying to hire a head coach for the Tennessee Volunteers.
You know what? You're right. But you know, as bizarre as that one was, they kind of found the guy they wanted. I mean, Jeremy Pruitt has upped the recruiting there. I mean, he's going to have to win some games, though. I mean, because as you guys know, that honeymoon doesn't last very long. And the SEC is pretty good. I like where Vanderbilt is. I like where Kentucky is. I think Missouri is going to be pretty good. I know they can't go to a bowl game, and I think Kelly Bryant's going to turn some heads and play well there. So And I'm sure you guys hear it all the time. There's no week off in that conference.
Bill Bender is our guest from the Sporting News. Bill, one more from me before we go. Top college football program since 2010. You guys did a ranking of that. Is Florida State at number 4, even though they've won a championship in this decade? Does that seem a little high?
No, I did it by this nerdy math formula that my wife always told me I should have been a banker or something. I'd get bored. Sports are fun, but I think a lot of it was you kind of forget, they won 29 in a row at one point. They produced the second most All-Americans this decade behind Alabama. And, honestly, if I was doing it maybe subjectively instead of just straight math, probably put Oklahoma ahead of them. And maybe LSU, but yeah, that's why Tiger has so much pressure, because the standard when Jimbo was there was pretty good, and you're seeing Jimbo start to do that at Texas A&M. I think they're going to be pretty good too.
Bill, thanks so much. Good stuff. We appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Thanks, guys.
All right, from the Sporting News, that's Bill Bender joining us, talking some college football season. It just always feels like it can't get here fast enough.